last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 10th juz, 10th para was recited, continuing with Surah Anfal. In the beginning of Surah Anfal, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had some difference regarding the giving out of the booty, who must get the booty in the, after the Battle of Badr. So in the beginning of the 10th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that how this booty must be distributed amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One portion must go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he must divide it amongst other people, and four-fifths will go to the Mujahideen. It will be distributed amongst them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is how it must be done. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the battle of Badr, how the help and assistance of Allah ta'ala came. Ulama say that the rabt and the connection between these ayat is, when a person will distribute his money and whatever according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they follow the command of Allah ta'ala, then Allah will give barakat and blessings in a person's life. And all the actions a person does, here the battle of Badr, Allah's help and assistance came to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So if you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure our money also, especially inheritance, is distributed correctly. The person doesn't cheat and take away the money of other people. Once barakah and blessings are lost, outwardly a person might have everything, but eventually when the crunch comes, when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes everything. So a person who wants the help of Allah ta'ala, then make sure our monetary dealings are done correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the battle of Badr, how Allah's help and assistance came to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wanted the battle to take place. So Allah made it such, in the eyes of the kuffar, the Muslims look very small, and they were small in number. Allah made them look small. And in the eyes of the Muslims, the kuffar also look small. So then the Muslims must not lose himmat and courage, and they must go forth to fight this battle. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you meet the army, then a few important usuls and principles. Number one, remain steadfast on the battlefield. Make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So a person, not only physically, he's got weapons, but the dhikr of Allah ta'ala will give ruhani taqat, spiritual strength to a person. Follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst yourselves, do not fight. He's an Amir, you follow the Amir. Once when you start fighting in a battlefield, and you're not following the Amir, what will happen then? You people will become buzdil, you'll become you will not have bravery within yourself, you will become cowardly, and all your strength and power will go away. And wasbiru, have the quality of sabr on the battlefield. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who are steadfast, who are in such difficult occasions, and do not go out of your houses with pride, with arrogance, to show off to people, stopping people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan is such that he will beautify for people their actions. So shaitan, he beautified for the kuffar and told them, don't worry, no one will be able to overpower you people today. I am your helper, I am your assistant. And this is how shaitan works throughout his life. And he comes to a person, I will help you, I will assist you. And then when the two armies came in front of one another, shaitan was the first one to flee. He ran away. He said, I am free from you people. I can see what you cannot see. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how shaitan comes. He to a person in life, not only on the battlefield, but all throughout a person's life, he comes. And he gives people false promises, false help and assistance I will give you. He makes a lot of promises. But when a problem comes to a person's life, a person now lands up in jail, a person now is disgraced, embarrassed, then shaitan runs away from that person. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Muslims, in the battle of Badr, there wasn't much time for them to prepare. But for future, وَاعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعَةٌ مِّنْ قُوَّةٍ. O Muslims, you must prepare now, physically also, to fight against the kuffar and disbelievers. And create, have such weapons by yourself, تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَكُمْ, by which you can create a fear in the hearts of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your enemies, and many other people besides them who you do not even know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of them. Whatever wealth you are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preparing yourself against them, then you will get a full reward for this year. So whatever a person is spending to physically get ready, then he will get great rewarded by in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, but this also does not deny physically a person should get ready, but the very important is the spiritual aspect also. It must not only be a person is worried about the physical aspect, and he forgets the spiritual aspect. Just as important is the spiritual aspect, or even to a greater extent is the spiritual aspect. But anyhow, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also there, that a person must physically prepare also. And وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلْسَلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If they are prepared to come forward for a peace treaty, then accept the peace treaty from them. You also incline towards it and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when there is benefit for the Muslims. Then a Muslim, there is no problem with having a peace treaty. If these people want to deceive you by means of this year, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for you. Allah is the one who will help and assist you, and He will help the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encourage the believers to go and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there are amongst you 20 people, they will be able to overcome 200 people. If there is 100 of you, they will be able to overcome 1,000 people against the disbelievers, because they are people who do not have understanding. Allah's help and assistance will be for you. This was in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If one was chasing 10, it was not permissible for him to flee from the battlefield. If there is more than 10 people, then it was permissible for a person to go back for reinforcements. But Allah says, now today, Allah has made it easy for you people. Allah understands that there is weakness within your people. So now if there is 100 amongst you people, they will overpower 200. That means 1 to 2. If Muslims are facing the army, and the Muslims are like 100 people, and there are 200 on the other side, then the Muslims cannot turn back and flee. They have to stand and fight. But if there is more than that amount, then it is permissible for the Muslims to retreat and to go back and take a reinforcement. Then Allah Ta'ala says, but however, Allahu ma'a as-sabirin, still to Allah is with those people who have got the quality of sabr. Even if they are 10 times the number or 20 times the number, and if the Muslims are steadfast and they go forward, Allah's help and assistance will be with them also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make them defeat huge, huge armies. And this has happened throughout the history of Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this money which comes, booty money, it is completely, Sahaba radiallahu anhu had a bit of doubt. It was somebody else's money, now we are taking it. Is it halal for us to eat? Now, ulama say the most halal money, most halal wealth is the wealth of booty. Where it's actually that money is coming out from the hands of the disbelievers. And now it actually becomes the milkiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is as if though Allah ta'ala is redistributing it amongst the people. So this wealth is coming directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there can't be any wealth which is more purer, more halal than the wealth which comes from booty. So Allah said, eat it, it's halal and it's tayyib. It is completely pure. And continue fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the great virtue of hijrat, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who sacrificed and left their homes. What great virtues are there, and they are also for those who have made a nusrat, who helped and assisted them, who gave refuge to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They are the ones, ulaika humul mu'minun haqqa. They are the ones who have got true iman. Allah has kept forgiveness for them, and great honor and respect in the year after. In the next surah is Surah Al-Bara'ah, or Surah Al-Tawbah, and in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes bara'at, the pact of the kuffar and mushrikeen who are living in Makkah Mukarramah. They had broken the pact many times against the Muslims. They had gone, they had violated the treaties many times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was four different groups. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the law regarding these four different groups in the beginning. And now they all must be banished and taken out from Makkah Mukarramah. Some of them still had a few months left. Allow them to remain for the few months to fulfill the pact. But after that few months, the Ashur al-Hurum is gone, then they all must leave. Because the whole place of Hijaz and Muqaddasa was supposed to have become a heaven only for the Muslim people, for Islam. And the Yahud and the Nasara must be taken out from Jaziratul Arab. And the whole place must become solely for the Muslim people. Unfortunately, today, after 1400 years, with tears in our eyes and tears in our hearts, we have to see that day. Unfortunately, these people are given Ijazat before they were born also. No non-Muslims are out past this area. But in today's time, unfortunately, their borders have been removed also. And now in Medina Munawwara, right in front of the Haram, we find non-Muslim people coming there. And sometimes they come, and what kind of clothing also they are wearing. And even entering the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's a thing of great sadness. We need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must remove this condition. This was one place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept. It's only supposed to be for the Muslims, the people of Islam. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And then in any of the mushrikeen have to ask you for pana and refuge. Give him refuge so he can hear the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can give him da'wah towards Islam, and thereafter make him go back to his place out of the Haramain Sharifain. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many qualities regarding the munafiqeen and the hypocrite in the surah, because this surah is also called Suratul Fadiha, the surah which disgraces the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces them in the surah. It caused a lot of harm to the Muslim people, and against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes even against the Zat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had spoken ill about him in this the battle. This surah was revealed, the majority of it, in the Battle of Tabuk. And in the Battle of Tabuk, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out, and he told all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they must go out. Ulama say it was farz ain, compulsory for a person to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nearly all the Muslims went out. It was a very difficult battle. There were a lot of imtihans and tests, and the munafiqeen stayed back. This was actually a surah which showed the difference between the munafiqeen and the believers. The ulama say that how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiate between Sahaba radiallahu anhum and between the munafiqeen? If a person wants to know how you know he's a person a munafiq, or how you know he's a sahabi, then you look in the jihad. Those people who participated in certain jihad, especially the Battle of Badr, That's why in the kitab of hadith you'll get, he was a Badri Sahabi. He took part in the battle of Uhud. He took part in the battle of Tabuk. So if he took part in the battle of Tabuk, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared his great status. Allah ta'ala has declared that he is a great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu wa radhu an. For example, those who took part in this battle, Allah was happy with them. They were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ. Allah has forgiven them. Allah had overlooked them. So they have got real iman within themselves, those who followed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this battle. So this is a sign to see that this person was definitely a Sahabi. Because in today's time, somebody will tell you that there was many munafiqs in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like how the Shia say, what's your proof that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi or Umar radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi? We say the Quran Sharif testifies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself testifies in these surahs. They have taken part in certain battles and Allah ta'ala has given a great glad tidings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So in the Quran Sharif there, the greatness is established. So there cannot be any doubt till the day of Qiyamah, no matter what historical narrations a person brings to you and he wants to speak ill of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We cannot accept it because in the faith of the what the Quran Sharif has said regarding Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that now in this, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's great, great virtues. The people who are giving water to the Hajis and building a Masjid al-Haram, can they ever be like those people who believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah and those people who strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They can never be equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who sacrifices his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other people who are doing other work also very great, but compared to striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can never be any comparison at all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not take your fathers and your brothers as friends if they give preference to kufr and disbelief over iman. If your fathers and your children and your brothers and your wives and your family members and the money which you are earning and your businesses which you are fearing it will go down and the houses which you love are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yes, it's meant the farz, which is compulsory for them to go out in the path of Allah ta'ala, so these are more beloved to you than this. فَتَرَبَّسُوا, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring His command. And the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down. So a person can have love for all of these things, no problem at all. As Allah ta'ala says, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, is more beloved to you. So to have love for them, there's nothing wrong with it. But the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and striving in the path of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be more. A person must have more love. As Hazrat Muhammad Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to mention, at least minimum pass mark is 51%. Have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how will a person know when there is muqabila? When a command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, and the other side is a command of a person's business, a person's family, a person's wife, a person's children, they are saying certain things which is against the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now when there is this conflict, who does a person give preference to? Now you will understand where the love is more. If it's 51%, this is the minimum pass mark, but then the person must try to continue increasing and getting more and more love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that love also. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. We must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah grant us your love. Wa hubba may yuhibbuk. And the love of those people who love you. Wal amal alladhi yuballighuni hubbak. And those a'mal and actions which will make us reach the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should make dua for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah's help and assistance came to the believers in many, many occasions, even on the battle of Hunain, when the Sahaba, some of them, they had mentions about Ujab, where a person gets, he feels, I'm okay now, I'm good, we've got a lot of numbers, created a little bit of pride in certain people who are new Muslims, and then because of this, Allah's help didn't come to the believers, the earth became tight upon them, and then you people started fleeing, you turned back. Then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance came. Allah sent down armies which you could not see, the angels, and Allah ta'ala destroyed the kuffar and disbelievers. So that even because Sahaba radiallahu anhu, some of them, the new Muslims, felt this time we got such big numbers, we definitely going to beat this army. This is a small army. They got no power in front of us. We defeated the bigger armies than this. So because of this thought came into their minds and this feeling came into themselves. So Allah's help and assistance was removed. This was a lesson for all of us, that a person must never have ujab, that vanity, that self-conceit, whether it's with numbers, whether it's with power, whether it's with wealth, because if Allah's help and assistance is taken away, a person cannot do anything at all. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the month of the year which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِثْنَا عَشْرَ شَهْرًا. Allah has created the 12 months of the year in the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time Allah ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, among them four of them are very sacred, which is Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These are the four sacred months, Ashhur al-Hurum. The person must honor these months, and especially in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why these 4 months were given honor? There was no fighting allowed in them. It was the month of Hajj. These 3 months was the month of Hajj, so people could go safely from Makkah, from all other places, come to Makkah Mukarramah. No fighting was allowed, so it was easy for people to travel. And in the month of Rajab was the month normally people used to make Umrah. So this month also Allah Ta'ala had made it sacred from the beginning of time, so that people could easily go for Umrah, and there won't be any fear for the people, there won't be any fright. So that's why that there was fighting was prohibited in these months. Thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions the great virtue of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that if nobody wants to help Allah and His deen, then remember Allah Ta'ala helped Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and when he was with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they were in the cave, and how Allah's help and assistance came when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was worried about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not be grieved. Allah is with us. And Allah Ta'ala sent down His sakina upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala helped and assisted him. And Allah Ta'ala made the kuffar, their words go right down. Islam rose. And this was during the hijrat, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you don't help Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance will be always with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then coming to the end of this para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the munafiqs and the hypocrites. Just before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great command of zakat, giving in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were certain munafiqs and hypocrites, they used to mock the Muslims. If they would give lot in the part of Allah ta'ala, they would say these people are showing off. And if they would give little, they would say Allah is not in need of this year. So Allah ta'ala reprimands those people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that who must a person give his zakat to? The certain groups are mentioned here. And the ulama say, why is zakat given? There are three great benefits in zakat. One, zakat is a form of ibadat and worship. Like how salat is a worship of a person's physical limbs. The person is showing that, oh Allah, I am your servant. Every part of my body is your servant. So I am humbling myself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakat is an ibadat of money. So a person is showing that, oh Allah, this money is not mine. It's not in my control. It's according to your command. I have to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first, it is a great form of worship to showing our bandagi and our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second benefit of zakat, zakat is a means of nafa' al-fuqara, to benefit the faqir and the poor people. So the ideal actually is for people in their own town, in their own city and village, to take out their zakat and give it to the poor Muslims in their own area. This is the afzal, the best, unless there is some need. There is a greater need, for example, earthquake takes place or something else, then to help and assist the other Muslims in other areas. So nafa' for the fuqara and the poor people. And the third benefit of zakat, ulama says, zakat is purification. It's a purification of the person's wealth also. If the person's wealth, if a person, it comes in one hadith, something to the effect that if a person's money and zakat is joined up with that money, and if the person doesn't pay his zakat, ahlakatu, it will destroy that money. All of that money will be destroyed because he did not give his zakat. And the other benefit of zakat is it's a purification of a person's soul. It removes the quality of stinginess, of greed, love of dunya from a person. This is the lowest level. And the more a person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more his heart becomes purified. Love of dunya is removed from a person's heart. So a person must give his zakat wholeheartedly and happily. Ulama say that when a person is giving his zakat, and the person is coming to collect zakat, that we must not regard that we are doing a favor to that person. But this person actually is doing a favor to us. Now I'm giving him my zakat, he's my surgeon. And he's removing that filth and evil of pride, of greed, of love of dunya from my heart. So actually he is making ihsan upon me, he is doing me a favor by accepting my zakat. So that is how a person must look. Obviously the person accepting zakat, he must look at it the other way, that this person is doing me a favor. So a person shouldn't get pride also when a person is giving me zakat. I'm helping these people. But no, they are actually doing me a favor and they are cleansing my money. They are purifying my heart and they are cleansing my money also. So this is how a person must think when a person is giving zakat in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are 8 categories mentioned here also. A person has to be very careful where he gives his zakat. It's not just sufficient, I gave my zakat. Ideal. A person goes himself and he looks for a person who is mustahik and worthy of zakat, and ourselves we give that zakat to that person. This is the ideal where a person has no doubt now that my money has definitely been discharged, and also it will create the true feelings within a person. One is you just give it to an organization, it will take place, but the benefits which a person will get when gives it himself is completely different. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the hypocrites, they are friends of one another, they command towards evil, prevent from good, and they keep the money back. They are not prepared to spend. They forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah has forgotten them. On the other hand, you get the people of Iman. They are friends of one another, and they command towards righteousness, prevent from evil. They establish salat. They are giving zakat. and they are obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will come upon such people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives, aziz can have one meaning, Allah is the one who gives izzat. Those who will follow the commands of Allah ta'ala, Allah will give them izzat, Allah will give them honor. And every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is according to the hikmat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person will do this in the year after, Allah will give him jannat. What in what beautiful gardens. And even greater, وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest thing which a person needs in his life. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest success. This is what a person must strive towards. Then in the last one, two rukus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the hypocrites were happy to stay back. And they made funny excuses. They said, you know what, we cannot go out. It's extremely hot. Tell them, نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ, the fire of Jahannam is much more severe in heat. You are staying back from this heat here. It's difficult. But the fire of Jahannam is much more severe. So have fear of that. Some of them is laughable things. If I go out, I will get involved in fitnas. I will look at a woman, I'll fall in love with them. So I can't go out, so I must stay back. So funny excuses they made. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that that time one of the munafiqs, hypocrites, he passed away. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to perform janazah salat on him. And then eventually, and he performed the janazah salat upon him. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command that now a person who passed away on kufr and disbelief, is that permissible for a person to read salat, janazah salat over him? And wala taqum ala qabri, you cannot stand on his qabr and his grave. So for a non-Muslim person to do any of the prayers of the non-Muslim people, example, we're standing now, somebody has got a father, they got a brother, and we go for the service, the funeral service, or we pray for that person, that Allah must forgive him, etc. This is not permissible. Once a person has left this world without iman, then is that permissible to make dua of maghfirah for that person? As long as he's living, make dua if he died for that person, try to bring him towards Islam. But the minute he passed away without iman, then is that permissible for a person, some like non-Muslim people passed away, in England, the Queen of England passed away, many Muslim people also, they went for the service. Is that permissible for Muslim people to go for such services and to make dua of maghfirah for such people also? Innahum kafaru billahi wa rasooli, they disbelieved in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can a person do so? And then Allah Ta'ala says, all of their money and their children must not make you surprised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use the same money and the same wealth to punish them in this worldly life with it. So they actually, it's not a ni'mat and bounty from the side of Allah Ta'ala, but it's actually this wealth which Allah gives them, eventually it becomes as a means of punishment for them. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that people will come to you with funny excuses. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not want to take part in the battle of Tabuk, which inshallah tomorrow we will discuss in detail. But so they want to stay back. Soon they will be punished very severely. But there are other people who had great desire to go out. Some of them were excused. Allah Ta'ala had forgiven them. And there were certain people who wanted to go out. They never have the means. And they come to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tears are flowing from their eyes because they cannot find money to spend. So Allah Ta'ala says there is no blame upon such people. This is that fervor they had within themselves. And may Allah make us amongst those people also. We have that fervor and desire within ourselves to always do good actions. Even though if a person cannot do so, but he's got that feeling within his heart, then also a person will get the reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming back from a certain jihad in the path of Allah, and he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there are people who are back in Medina Munawwara, and because of uzar, some excuse that kept them back, but wahum ma'ana, they are together with us, they will get the same reward also as us, because they wanted to go out, they had the desire and fervor, but because of certain reasons, valid reasons, they were not able to go out. So the intention of a person also is very great. The intention of a person has, Allah Ta'ala accordingly rewards a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.